years old LGO.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And thanks for coming along for the ride, as always. You know, you just, I've said this before. I said it around this time last year. I've said it before that. It's interesting, you know, the difference sort of, I don't know, in mindset, attitude. Just sort of reflecting, you know, we played the clip yesterday, Ron Paul, Rick Sanchez interviewing him, you know, that RT piece. Ron Paul, deep state, more powerful than presidents. But I remarked at how eternally optimistic Ron Paul is, which is interesting because, again, you know, you go back to 2008, and, you know, before 2008, he was talking about winding his campaign down, he said, "I will continue if there are funds and there is continued support." There was overwhelming support, and there was a massive fund drive right after he said that. So obviously that indicates that people are interested in this message of, as he said, you know, more recently in the clip that we played yesterday, this message of freedom, of liberty, of personal responsibility, rather than a nanny state and all of that great stuff. So obviously people were interested. And then, you know, by summertime, we were hearing otherwise, and people were still excited, but he seemed to sort of vacillate. And then Kent Snyder died suddenly and unexpectedly, and that was bizarre. And, you know, because, I mean, he was a young, healthy guy. And then Carol got sick. That was strange, too. And then suddenly we didn't really hear much more about Ron Paul's bid for the presidency. But, you know, you think about that. You think about his eternal optimism. And then you think about kind of what I've been trying to ruminate on this week. Again, it's that time of year, you know, and as I've been saying this week, from mid to late January until April 4, every year I think is a particular moment. This is one of those kind of teachable moments, if you will. I really don't like that expression, but this is one of those moments because, again, if you really are able to just press pause on life and investigate, you just start to come away with so much. I mean, again, you know, you have JFK, the animosity in the JFK administration with regard to all of the fomenting of chaos by the agents of chaos, Chaos. There was, you know, overwhelming chaos. I probably shouldn't do that. Anyway, chaos. The agents of chaos. The rumblings of the CIA as it's really kind of hitting its stride, its post-OSS stride. And, you know, again, you have basically the death cult running Vietnam and running it amok. And even in the early 60s, JFK was, you know, having trouble with establishment types. And this is nothing new, per se. You know, again, you look throughout history. I mean, I'm guest host of the National Intel Report yesterday, and during conversation with one of the callers, Mike in Colorado, I think. Or maybe it was Mark, actually. I think it was Mark. Yeah, it was Mark. You start thinking about what has gone on over the course of history and the controversy, for example, one of the big ones, and there have been several, but one of the big ones early on was John C. Calhoun. And, you know, him as a sort of agent provocateur, basically, pre-Civil War provocateur, harping on states' rights the way that he did in a surreptitious fashion. And that gets kind of to the point of today's broadcast. These people, you know, folks like Martin Luther King, who are actually espousing peace, extolling the virtues of peace, you know, a guy who could unite the civil rights and the peace movement. People said, "Oh, that's crazy." Yet those who are actually really moving in that direction, they come under fire, and, you know, obviously sometimes quite literally. Meanwhile, The police state, the technocratic propaganda state, cybernetic totalist state, is running around just like the Bible tells us, you know, peace, peace. And meanwhile, a lot of sleepless nights, you know, so it doesn't like the encroachment. You know, people come along, you got this propaganda machine saying peace, peace. And folks like Martin Luther King come along and say, yeah, you know what? Peace is a good idea. Oh no, we're not actually advocating peace. It's just a good Trojan horse. So let's not confuse that. And so it's interesting, you know, you look back on history, you see again, Kennedy really kind of having trouble with not just really kind of the DEFSEC establishment, I guess, you know, the national military establishment as it was coined out of the National Security Act of 1947, the NME, really, you kind of, I think, could sum it up that way, what, you know, Eisenhower termed the military-industrial complex, which I think is sort of, you know, I like NME, the National Military Establishment. Sounds more befitting in my humble estimation. So anyway, you know, Kennedy having trouble with these folks, and again, sort of bumping into the Bush machine. You know, I think GHWB is a kind of frontline, you know, first degree removed from power kind of guy, second degree. And again, you know, to me, I think GHWB is kind of a Kaiser Soze figure. Who is Kaiser Soze? Verbal Kint shows up and, oh, he's just a harmless goofball. Look at him. He's kind of a nerd. Nope, not so much. So you have Kennedy's trouble with the national military establishment, the war machine. And again, we know that John Judge told us that his mom was in the DOD. She was the number cruncher for troop count, essentially. And the Monday after that fateful November 22nd day, she was recrunching the numbers, according to John Judge. And there was a push for an overwhelming increase in United States forces in Vietnam, subsequent to JFK's death and, you know, removal. So you have that, you have, you know, again, other civil rights folks like Fred Hampton assassinated, and there were other low-level plots. So what wasn't completely co-opted and conscripted through COINTELPRO efforts, or what wasn't created originally, actually, best way to lead the opposition is to create it, you know, to lead it or create it, or both, was silenced. But you fast forward to 1968, and that's a pivotal moment, you know? Bobby Kennedy is poised to become the next Kennedy as president, the next United States president. And you have Martin Luther King. There's a coalescence happening. Bobby, you know, talking to the common folk sort of can relate. You know, he's not one of those generational old school bad guys who's completely detached from people and finds them, you know, vile and reprehensible. All these plebs, you know, even though, you know, the Kennedy bootlegging and crime fortune, crime syndicate fortune notwithstanding, he's still sort of a man of the people and seems to be becoming more a man of the people as time goes on, as he visits different places, talks to different folks. You have, again, you know, folks like Cesar Chavez, Martin Luther King, and folks advocating peaceful resistance to the war machine, conscientious objection to it. And if Bobby Kennedy becomes president and Martin Luther King lives, then who knows where America ends up today? I dare say the CIA and FBI et al. Would be markedly different institutions if they persisted at all. Which, to me, kind of calls to mind two things. First of all, it's interesting I guess the biggest takeaway is it's interesting how something like that could happen, again, to sort of hint back at Ron Paul's eternal optimism. I suppose we're always just a moment away from something like that. I mean, evil, the encroachment of evil, and as folks have told us over the course of history, again, the most notable example in my mind is Abraham Lincoln's Lyceum Address in our own history, that if danger is ever to befall us, it will come from within. You know, the two sort of examples, quintessential examples of this sentiment are Lincoln's Lyceum Address and Patrick Henry's remarks. You know, Lincoln said, "Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow? Won't happen. Never happen. At what point then is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. Cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide." And when you think about the way that, well, you know, the intelligence community, for example, has sort of institutionalized a factious element within America and actually made it sort of vogue. Again, I mean, I've talked about how I've had conversations with folks, perhaps you have too, where it's getting difficult, it's getting more difficult, and these are usually, you know, former special ops, private military, you know, PMC types, and it gets more and more difficult until finally you get to that moment, that, you know, watershed moment in the conversation, and you know, I mean, it's the fork in the road, and you hear those words, "Chris, you can either be on the right side or the winning side. Battle's coming. You can either be on the right side or the winning side." Guys, seriously? Where are you? Where are we? So basically, you're what, admitting that you're you're a sycophant to evil and power? Is that what you're admitting? And you're some, you know, you fancy yourself someone brave and courageous? I don't think that's very brave and courageous at all. In fact, I think it's quite cowardly, personally. I think a guy who says, I've been to the mountaintop, you know what, doesn't matter if I live or not, I'll meet you guys there. We might not get there at the same time, but that speech was pretty courageous, in my opinion, because I think he really had, you know, seen over into the other side, so to speak. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible.
Welcome back. America, where are you? Where are you, America? This is a time of reflection. So, you know, maybe Ron Paul is right. Maybe we're just a moment away at any given moment. And I remain sort of steadfast on the idea. In my mind, I would call it Jonah's gospel. Yet 40 days and America will be overthrown. Because, you know, again, to draw from a biblical homage, this one from Daniel, the writing's on the wall, it seems. You know, again, I mean, kind of from yesterday's broadcast, the week beyond, continuing into yesterday's guest hosting of the National Intel Report. Facts are facts. And, you know, I guess Ben Shapiro is right. Facts don't care about your feelings. But the point is, we keep crossing milepost after milepost of historical lessons, thinking that somehow this fallacious notion of American exceptionalism will somehow safeguard us from the consequences. You know, but like the Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom and not get burned? Can we really do all of this? Can we really make even back then, you know, 51 years ago, Martin Luther King was deeply saddened, you know, after reading William Pepper's article and really reflecting on that, his Beyond Vietnam speech, you know, he was one of the points he was talking about was the war appropriations, the fact that we have this massive military-industrial complex budget, and people don't realize. I mean, we, you know, how different these institutions are than whatever, you know, again, John Adams, all the perplexities, confusions, and distress in America arise not from want of honor or virtue, nor from defects in their constitution or confederation. So much as the downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation. But it's not necessarily the problem isn't constitution, confederation, whatever. What we have now, this institutionalizing of the military-industrial complex, the national military establishment, the NME, really is an enemy. I don't think that was by accident, that acronym. You know, we were supposed to maintain a well-regulated militia among the several states. That was our first line of defense. And if that were determined to be insufficient and potentially breached, well, they would wait until they'd hold the line until the regulars arrived. That was the idea. Not this bloated, you know, $750 billion a year, bases on every continent in virtually every country around the world. Who knows how many are clandestine? Who knows how much black budget stuff goes on? Not that. And now it's been, in many ways, sort of romanticized. A lot of people think it's the greatest thing ever. As long as we benefit from the disparity. Never mind the fact that there are no real enemies. They're all fabrications. Never mind that our people get shot with their own guns and bullets. Never mind all of that. Never mind the people advocating foreign policy don't shoulder arms themselves, but send, you know, cannon fodder off, as folks like Henry Kissinger would put it. Never mind all that. Never mind that some are enriched. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
When we decided to take a ride for freedom and ended segregation in interstate travel. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1962. The Negroes in Albany, Georgia decided to straighten their backs up. And whenever men and women straighten their backs up, they are going somewhere, because a man can't ride your back unless it is bent. If I had sneezed, if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been here in 1963. And the black people of Birmingham, Alabama, aroused the conscience of this nation and brought into being the Civil Rights Bill. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have had a chance later that year in August to try to tell America about a dream that I had had. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been down in Selma, Alabama to see the great movement there. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been in Memphis to see a community rally around those brothers and sisters who are suffering. I'm so happy that I didn't sneeze. And they were telling me. Now it doesn't matter now. It really doesn't matter what happens now. I left Atlanta this morning, and as we got started on the plane, there were six of us. The pilot said over the public address system, "We are sorry for the delay, but we have Dr. Martin Luther King on the plane, and to be sure that all of the bags were checked, and to be sure that nothing would be wrong on the plane, we had to check out everything carefully, and we've had the plane protected and guarded all night." And then I got into Memphis, and some began to say the threats, or talk about the threats that were out. What would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers? Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
And, of course, when we listen to that, we all know that was April 3rd, 1968, right? We all remember that. That was April 3rd. So, you know, as James Corbett noted in episode 334 of the Corbett Report, "The Truth at Last, the Assassination of Martin Luther King," which included, again, excerpts from his interview with William Pepper. As James Corbett noted, having lived with the threat of death every day for the better part of a decade, Dr. King had no interest in letting yet another death threat, even one from the FBI itself, get the better of him. But this was not a thing that he dwelled on. So for him to conclude his speech on April 3rd in Memphis that way, you know, tell me he didn't know. And overwhelming forces were brought to bear against him, as we always see in this kind of a situation. You know, it's a shadowy conspiracy, but it, for the force that's brought to bear, it usually seems to play out in sort of inept fashion. This, Bobby's assassination, you know, and so many others. You know, Ruby Ridge is another one that sort of comes to mind. And of course, Waco, just the overwhelming force that's brought to bear against people, individuals, typically, who present no imminent danger or threat to life and property, other than, you know, the interests of a small, essentially satanic cabal advancing the agenda of evil. That's the only, you know, the death cult ideologues and adherents, the Ivy League pirates and their minions. That's who's threatened by folks like Martin Luther King. So that was his speech. That was the conclusion of his mountaintop speech, Memphis, Tennessee, April 3rd, 1968. And very provocative. And then, of course, later that night, Bobby Kennedy's remarks. And he was cautioned, as the story goes, not to campaign where he was campaigning in the first place, in what was considered kind of a rough area in the Indianapolis area. And that was a remarkable speech. And seems to me if there was a moment we could cut through the rhetoric, it'd be these kinds of moments. And I'm always apprehensive to get too worked up, to get too emotional. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. One of the best examples in my mind is Isaiah chapter 5, I believe. You know, sometimes we're inclined to have these emotional reactions to things. Actually, it's chapter 6, I think. Yeah. And we're cautioned against that in the Bible. Even Jesus said, you know, talked about counting the cost. You know, the Bible talks about the cost, you know, counting the cost. A wise soldier counts the cost, does not entangle himself in the affairs of daily life while there's a battle raging. Anyway, in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has an emotional experience. One called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, 'Woe is me,'" the prophet Isaiah, "for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." So he's having an emotional experience. And this, you know, he's talking about how, you know, "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple." It's I'm sure it was an emotionally overwhelming experience. I would imagine. One can only imagine. But continuing, Isaiah says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" He exclaims, "Here I am, send me!" Exclamation point. And then this is God's response. He said, "Go and tell this people." And you have to understand that Isaiah was from a prominent, affluent family. So, you know, he's, I mean, imagine, you know, sort of an acolyte of his day. So God said, "Go and tell this people," his contemporaries, his townsmen, "keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed." So then Isaiah, his response, he says, "Then I said, 'Lord, how long?'" And to me, that's a sort of woeful recoil from the emotional experience he was having. Oh my goodness, I was kind of unbalanced there. God's response to Isaiah is, how long, Lord, is until cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. Anyway, it's a, you know, that exchange didn't go quite the way Isaiah anticipated, I would imagine. So I'm always apprehensive to get swept up in emotional experiences, but there's something about freedom. There's something about liberty. And yes, we need to define terms. I agree with Lark that there are different types of freedom. The freedom from want or need, not so interested in that, because that's surreptitious. It always comes with strings. The price is always too high, in my humble estimation. But this message, you know, this was different. These guys were different. I mean, who can say this guy didn't know? And yet he stayed the course. That to me sounds courageous. Versus these folks that make these statements, you can either be on the right side or the winning side. Guys, that's no choice. You know, for somebody in a position that's making that statement, that's no choice. You know better than that, guys. So it's unfortunate that that discussion ever even arises, that we have been so divided, that we've been so deluded and conscripted, deceived, propagandized, socially engineered, cybernetically engineered. It's so tragic and unfortunate. You know? So beguiled, so deceived. And, you know, every time you think of moments like that, or at least every time I think of moments like that, I can't help but be reminded of those words allegedly attributed to Adam Weishaupt. Oh, foolish man, what can you not be made to believe or led to believe? Which, again, gets back to my belief that the devil has one weapon. It's the power of suggestion, from which all of the others stem. The suggestibilists. So, you know, I was drawing from excerpts of from James Lowen's Lies My Teacher Told Me yesterday. And he wrote, having ignored why the federal government acts as it does, textbooks proceed to ignore much of what the government does. Textbook authors portray U.S. government's actions as agreeable and nice, even when U.S. government officials have admitted motives and intentions of a quite different nature. And remember, this is after he mentions, U.S. foreign policy owing to special economic interests of individual corporations, it should be individuals, corporations, and or to misconceived ideological interests of U.S. foreign policy planners. And he points to Jonathan Quitney's book, how Quitney points out during the entire period from 1953 to 77, again, Philip Drew administrator, you know, Edward Mandel House, and what Ralph McGahee told us, the CIA is not Central Intelligence Agency. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisors. That is a brilliant statement. In a world filled with rhetoric and propaganda, you come across statements like that. Man, that's it in a nutshell. That's exactly what it is. That is it. And who was it? Other former CIA guy who was, you know, he mentioned the two. If there's a distinction to be made, it was the DO, the Directorate of Operations. Otherwise, there is, you know, there is an argument to be made that there is an aspect of the CIA that is actually, you know, a central intelligence agency. But the DO seems to have sort of gobbled up everything. We'll be right back.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. I miss Mayberry. You know, I can't imagine Andy Griffith or Barney Fife using language like the subject was not responsive. The subject did not respond to verbal commands. I just can't imagine that kind of dehumanized language coming out of Mayberry. Paulo Freire, Pedagogy of the Oppressed. He really, I think, outlined the problem as well as anyone could. Really, really provocative language. So anyway, James Loewen, Lies My Teacher Told Me, textbook authors portray the U.S. government's actions as agreeable or and nice, even when U.S. government officials have admitted motives and intentions of a quite different nature. Among the less savory examples are various attempts by U.S. officials and agencies to assassinate leaders or bring down governments of other countries. And again, this is not just agencies. It's comes back to a small faction of individuals who mask their exploits through plausibly deniable efforts and compartmentalized agencies and sort of layers of the onion, you know, and James Jesus Angleton's Wilderness of Mirrors, Frank Wisner's Mighty Wurlitzer, and all the rest of their tools of deception and misdirection. The United States has indulged in activities of this sort, James Loewen writes, at least since the Wilson administration. But Patrick Kloss reminds us it's been longer than that, hasn't it? Which hired two Japanese Mexicans, the Wilson administration, that is, hired two Japanese Mexicans to try to poison Pancho Villa. Loewen writes, I surveyed the 12 textbooks to see how they treat six more recent attempts to subvert foreign governments. And again, why are we doing this? Can you imagine if other countries were doing that here? The hell that would be brought to bear. To ensure that the events were adequately covered in the historical literature, I examined only incidents that occurred before 1973, well before any of these textbooks went to press. The episodes, six episodes he mentions, are assistance to the Shah's faction in Iran in deposing Prime Minister Mossadegh and returning the Shah to the throne in 1953, our role in bringing down the elected government of Guatemala in 54, our rigging of the 57 elections in Lebanon, which entrenched the Christians on top and led to the Muslim revolt and civil war the next year, our involvement in the assassination of Patrice Lumumba of Zaire in 1961, our repeated attempts to murder Premier Fidel Castro in Cuba and bring down his government by terror and sabotage, and number six, our role in bringing down the elected government of Chile in 1973. Those are all some provocative moments in history. Anyway, we'll continue. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just calling to tell you what a great product you have. I could use this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Oh, I wish I was